this is your Polycast for Wednesday, August 26th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Minnesota students do well on one college readiness test and the pollution cost of generating electricity. A federal appeals court is allowing three Minnesota women to continue lawsuits against dozens of law enforcement agencies over privacy. Matt Sepik reports.
Plaintiffs Brooke Bass, a lawyer, and Twin Cities TV reporters Beth McDonough and Dawn Mitchell accused the agencies of violating federal privacy protections by repeatedly allowing officers to view their driver's license photos and personal information. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals partly reversed a lower court's dismissal of the lawsuits. League of Minnesota Cities attorney Stephanie Engelker says the public will pay if the plaintiffs succeed.
I think it's important that the public know that ultimately this is taxpayer dollars that these plaintiffs are after. That's what ultimately pays the bill.
If they prevail, the women could collect $2,500 per wrongful search, plus punitive damages and attorney's fees. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
For the 10th year in a row, Minnesota students led the nation in one measure of college readiness. That's according to a report out today that shows Minnesota students once again have the highest average score among states where a majority of students take the ACT test. But behind those scores is mixed news for some of the state students. More students of color are taking the ACT, but they continue to struggle compared to white students. Tim Post has more.
Minnesota's 2015 graduating seniors scored an average of 22.7 on their ACTs, the highest composite score among states where more than half of students take the test. It's also 0.2 points lower than last year. That doesn't worry Minnesota's Education Commissioner Brenda Caselius. Caselius says the small shift downward comes as more students are taking the test. There were 1,500 more than last year, an overall increase of 2%, and a higher percentage of test takers were students of color.
Being able to show stable scores, with just like a 0.1 or 0.2 percent change with increasing enrollment is very significant in showing that, we're able to sustain this high performance level for many, many years.
Minnesota also leads the nation in overall college preparedness. 39% of students met all four of the ACT's college readiness benchmarks in English, reading, math, and science. While that may top the nation, it's not good enough for Larry Pogemiller, commissioner of Minnesota's Office of Higher Education.
61% were not totally prepared yet. So I think that means we have some work to do there.
The gap in ACT scores between white students and students of color is sizable. 62% of white students met three or more of the ACT's college readiness benchmarks, but only 17% of African-American students hit that number. While that's 5 percentage points higher than the nation as a whole for black students, Pogemiller says the state needs to do more to get students of color thinking about and preparing for college.
We're just not doing as well as we need to be, neither Minnesota or the country.
One strategy to improve the college readiness of students is to get more of them to take the ACT. That was the idea behind a state effort this spring to offer all of the state's juniors the ACT for free at their schools on one day in April. It was even added as a high school graduation requirement. Lawmakers made a change to that program during this year's special session. Next year, districts will pay for the test for any student who asks for it, then request a reimbursement from the state. Representative Sandra Erickson, a Republican who chairs a House Education Committee at the state capitol, says that will require districts and parents to push students to take the ACT.
The onus is on them, and that's probably where it should be. I don't think the legislature should have to mandate this and then turn schools into a day of testing just for one grade level and send everybody else someplace else.
The scores of the Minnesota juniors who took the ACT for free this year will show up in next year's national figures. State Department of Education Commissioner Brenda Caselius says that will likely mean a change to the state's overall score.
When more kids take it, you do see slight dips in the score.
But once again, that change doesn't worry her, because it means more Minnesota students will have taken the ACT and more will be thinking about college. Tim Post, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission will take testimony this afternoon on the pollution-related costs of generating power. In the 1990s, the state began requiring utilities and regulators to factor in the environmental and health costs of those pollutants when making decisions about how best to generate electricity. People concerned about climate change, asthma, and other effects say those cost figures are long overdue for an update. Elizabeth Dunbar has the story.
The Public Utilities Commission is looking at costs associated with a range of pollutants, including carbon dioxide, sulfur dioxide, and fine particles. But leading into today's hearing, carbon emissions and their link to global warming are so far generating the most discussion. The country's top coal producer, Peabody Energy, has submitted written testimony from experts who argue the cost of carbon is zero. They downplay the widely accepted link between CO2 and global warming and argue CO2 even benefits the planet. That's in stark contrast to the clean energy advocates urging state regulators to adopt the so-called social cost of carbon values the federal government has come up with. They factor in impacts such as warmer temperatures, sea level rise, and damage to ecosystems. Those values range between $11 and $105 per metric ton, and would rise in the future.
One thing we know is that zero isn't the right answer.
Stephen Pulaski is an economics professor at the University of Minnesota who has researched costs that come with emitting carbon dioxide. He acknowledges there's a lot of uncertainty involved in making the calculations, but he says that shouldn't stop Minnesota from updating the numbers.
Some people would say, well, it's so uncertain we just can't factor it into the analysis. But clearly there are going to be some impacts. So what we want to do is to take our sort of best assessment of what those impacts are likely to be, account for a range of impacts.
Pulaski submitted testimony on behalf of a coalition of environmental and clean energy groups who say adopting the federal numbers would lead to better decisions about electricity. Others interested in using the federal numbers include some physicians. Environmental attorney Kevin Lee represents a coalition of metro area doctors. He says a growing body of medical literature points to climate change as a major public health threat.
It kind of runs the gamut. It goes from vector-borne diseases, things like malaria, which are spread by warmer temperatures in places where you didn't previously have warmer temperatures. And then there are some other problems. Warmer temperatures can interact with air pollution in some pretty damaging ways in the human body.
Lee says by factoring in some of these costs, as the federal figures have done, decision makers have a more accurate picture of possible consequences.
So that when a utility does its resource planning, when they go to the PUC and they say, well, we plan to operate this coal plant for the next 30 years, the PUC can look at that plan and then say, all right, well, how much will it cost ratepayers? And how much damage will it cost?
Minnesota's largest utility, Xcel Energy, agrees with that concept. Regional Vice President Laura McCartan says considering the costs is prudent and will benefit customers.
The decisions we make today are with us for 20, 30, 40 years. As we look at the science that has happened over the last 20 years, we think it's appropriate that some of these numbers do change.
However, Xcel doesn't support using the federal carbon numbers. McCartan says they weren't developed to help states like Minnesota plan how to generate electricity, and the utility is urging regulators to adopt a lower range for the cost of carbon. Business groups are also urging caution, saying increasing the carbon costs too much could lead to energy decisions that are more expensive for ratepayers. Ben Gerber, energy policy director for the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, says the business group wants to keep energy rates competitive.
If we don't, then those jobs and production go elsewhere. And in some cases, they go elsewhere to places that don't have the same pollution controls and concerns that are shared by Minnesota businesses.
The issue will go to an administrative law judge before heading to the PUC for a final decision sometime next year. Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
That's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.